You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight I'm talking to Skalk Lowe, a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town. I looked at the JSC today and I thought there's no real local drivers, as Skalk. It's all to do with what's happening overseas. And what's happening overseas is that markets are drifting lower.
Do you know what this is? You know what that is?
Yes, I do. It's you doing an impersonation of a hen.
No. That's the chickens that's coming home to roost.
Ah.
That's what you're hearing there. And that's what we've seen today. I mean, so I think let's start off. I mean, we're not going to have fun. If you're looking for an exciting day on JSE,
no,
or more
not.
Specifically sense announcements, I'm unfortunately going to disappoint you. Not a lot of news, not a lot of information. But economic news, that was massive. I mean, the US, we look at the inflation.
CPI. Tell me about that first of all, please, before you go on. What happened with consumer price inflation in the world's largest economy?
Yeah, bottom line, it's another miss. I mean, they were expecting 5.3%. Not a big miss. I mean, naturally, 5.4 versus 5.3. But as we've often discussed.
Huge.
It's massive. 5.4, this is now the third month in a row where the U.S. actually comes out north of South African inflation. And we can see it in the rand. I mean, the rand's reaction, or let's call it the dollar's reaction after the news broke. We actually see the rand dollar back at 14.80 levels. And this is typically what you will be expecting. And now all eyes suddenly, turns back to the Fed. What are they going to – they're going to come back. Because we saw on Friday, we saw the non-farm payrolls not just missing, but actually came out worst levels that we've seen in I don't want to say years, but many months. This is bad. So we're not creating jobs. Inflation not being brought under control. Yeah, I think that's what they call a rock and a hard price. And precious metals had a field day after the announcement. You can literally draw that graph. As they brought out that CPI data, it was just bang. There
so
you go.
Just tell me this, okay? How many months now has inflation in the United States of America been above 5%? How many months? Is it 6 months, 7 months, 9 months? It's been quite a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah. No, it's definitely. So last month, we know it was 5.8, 5.9 the month before that. Last month, it actually came from, 5.3. Yeah, previous month was 5.3%. So this is 3 or 4 months in a row where we've either been over 5% or run about the 5% levels. And remember, they should be run about the 2%. Let's call it 2 to 3% level. So this is quite seriously above their bands where they should be trading at, and not good at all.
So can you tell me why the U.S. 10-year bond yield is 1.54% rather than 1.64%, where it should be, or 1.74%? Why is the U.S. 10-year where it is now? Because bond yields have fallen and bond prices have rallied.
Yeah, dollar weaker. Your 10-year yield now coming off. I mean, I can't really tell you. I think the only reason what I can sort of grasp at is the fact that suddenly the investors out there are saying, well, you know what? Good luck. Good luck, Paul, trying to introduce these earlier than expected interest rate hikes. I think you need to just go back there and just make sure that this is the right path you want to go, because remember you're not creating the jobs. Economically, things don't seem to be picking up as they do, and I'm referring to the non-farm payrolls on Friday, and inflation is kicking up where they should be raising interest rates. I think they're really struggling to find the reasons how they're going to do that. So
I love these statisticians. They say excluding food and energy, the gain was just 0.2% in the United States in the month of September and 0.4% respectively. Now, How can you exclude food and energy from your life? Don't exclude it. Just tell us what the real basket is. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
But you must answer me this question. I asked this of a couple of commentators yesterday. If you have to drive off to go to your meeting at 6 o'clock with one of your colleagues, you have to drive, and the demand for petrol in your car is inelastic. In other words, you have to put petrol in your car. So if you're putting petrol in your car, that money comes out of your pocket, so that leaves you less money as a normal human being to buy other things. So therefore, the other measure of inflation comes down because you haven't got the money to buy other stuff. So where do you stand on this particular point? In other words, if oil and energy and other costs go up, which you can't avoid, i.e. food and energy, then does that mean that inflation comes down? It's a very clumsy way of asking you the question, but I think you know what I mean.
No, I understand exactly what you mean, and that's why they say this. Don't worry, it's just temporary. I mean, it will eventually. We see the spike, but remember, it's got this ripple effect, Lindsay. And we've discussed this, and I'm going to retouch on that, because remember after last week's, I think it was either trading update or results from Mondi, they ended off that report by stating that their biggest, let's call it, concern over this period, or this quarter, it was quarterly update, where the increase of energy prices, we'd had a material effect on the cost structures. And what did they end up? They're now going to adjust their prices. And yes, we're not talking about food, and we're not talking about petrol or fuel. We're talking about packaging. Yes. I mean, yes, that packaging, they're now going to adjust to combat this inflation. The person that buys this packaging that needs to put in their tomatoes or their food products, they need, suddenly are making less profit as well. They need to adjust these products as well, you know, being food, being your normal consumer goods. This is the ripple effect, and that ripple effect is not stopping. And I think that's what you and I'm sort of preaching to the converted. This is not something that you would stop overnight. I mean, it might be just something smaller, and might be what's that beautiful English word? Transitory.
Well, it's not English. It's Jerome Powellish, actually, not English.
It's Powellism, yeah. Powellism. Yes. It might be. I just can't see it. I seriously can't see it. And I think when we look at the reaction, I mean, I'm just going to run through a few of these precious metals. Gold up 2% after the announcement. Silver up 3.2%. Platinum up 1.1%. I mean, this is massive jumps just after this inflation. These traders are calling this and saying, well, Paul, you're in a very, very difficult position. Yes. We can't see you. You're just jumping out of this inflationary environment. And I can't see it either. I seriously can't see it either.
No, I can't see it either. And just we have to say this, because since we've been talking, Famous Brands has come out with a trading statement. Across our trading markets in South Africa, it says rest of Africa and the Middle East and the United Kingdom, the negative financial impact of the COVID-19 global pandemic and resultant national lockdowns and trading restrictions, as well as the civil unrest experienced in SA, have materially impacted the group's results. But on the other hand, it says, it's a confusing update. It doesn't say our earnings are going to be up or down. It's very confusing. But we'll talk about it tomorrow morning, of course, on the opening. But then it's not for
now. I want to add to that.
Go on.
I want to add to that, because, you know, that brings us back to the, you know, economic data that came out from South Africa, yes, which is the retail sales figures. And now exactly what Famous Brands basically implied in their trading statement, we can clearly see that. Remember, we had that little unrest 2 months ago, and that saw a drop in the retail sales month on month of 11.1%. That was purely. Now, we've had a massive kick in August, and that was up 4.9%. But still, the year-on-year data with that, let's call it, whole implosion there in July, is still down, you know, 1.3%. Consensus, they should have been positive 2.6%, actually down 1.3%. One or two things that stood out for me. I'm not going to focus again what happened in July. I think we've chatted about that numerous times. I think the one thing that really stood out, and it's something that you actually, I know, spoken quite a bit about, was when we were in lockdown, people went to the likes of CTMs and Builders and those type of places, and they suddenly did all these chores they never had time to do, fix a leaky. You know what I mean?
You did it. I know you did. I mean, I wouldn't have done it. I haven't been in lockdown.
I know.
But even if I was in lockdown, I wouldn't have been able to do it, and I wouldn't have wanted to do it. But you did it, didn't you? You went out and you did stuff.
Yes, I did. I did. I became quite... I must say,
I
even bought myself a toolbox. I mean, my wife is so impressed with me lately because I'm like the tool man lately because I've got my own toolbox. But let's not, digress.
I really don't want to talk about your toolbox. Thank you.
I know you don't want to talk about my toolbox, but I will remind you again later this show, about my phenomenal toolbox. Anyway, so what I want to get to is the retail figures, and it was actually stood out when you look at the annual growth. They talk about the negative annual growth rates we recorded four, and then they break it up: general dealers, retail and household furniture, appliances, equipment. The one thing that actually were the biggest contributor for this drop was retailers in hardware, paint, and glass.
Interesting.
That was down year on year 7.4%. So suddenly, with this whole lockdowns being open up, people moving back to offices, suddenly they're not buying the drills and the bits and the paints and those type of chores, which they lost this time around, actually had time to go and do. I thought that was quite a interesting one. Very, very interesting to note.
What's very interesting, if you're a retail analyst, Skalk, is the different patterns that have emerged over the last 18, 19, 20 months because of the global health crisis, and how we have adjusted our behavior when it comes to buying, when it comes to personal habits, when it comes to things that we would normally do but don't do anymore. And it's incredible. It's interesting to try and predict what's going to happen. Will we retain these traits that we've developed over the last 19 months, or will we just discard them and go back to our old ways? This is what retail analysts have to confront themselves with.
Yeah, I think it's been the toughest year for them. Over the past 12 months, because suddenly you need to make big decisions. We've seen what some of these clothing retailers, I mean, I think it was a year or two ago, Mr. Price, I think they got some clothing line, either winter line or summer line, that they got the fashion wrong. And we know what the after effect was. And I'm talking on the correction, but as I recall, I think it was 2009. These retail companies, or let's call it building construction retail companies, they need to now forecast. They need to use what they've seen over the past 12 months and say, well, is either of these trends going to stick? Are we still going to be homebound? Are we going to still be work from home environment? Clearly, people are moving back and are anxious to move back and interact with other people. And if you made the wrong decisions, good luck. I think that would be something not even my toolbox can fix.
Okay, on that note, let's have a look at the spot prices. The dollar rand, as you mentioned earlier on, doing rather well. It's 0.6% better against the US dollar. It's 14.81. The British pound against the rand is 20.21. Euro rand is 17.14. Euro dollar is 115.70, which is barely changed even after those interesting CPI numbers. The British pound against the US dollar, the cable, is 136.45, which is a 0.2% gain for the pound. The gold price, you must be loving this. It's probably, I could hear you had a
That's
bit of
an understatement.
I think you can. I thought you a little bit had a buoyant tone to your introduction. The gold price is $1,792, which is up $33 an ounce in the last 24 hours. Platinum is up $20 an ounce to $1,027. And the palladium price, oh my goodness me, stop the world, I want to get off, $81 higher at $2,117 per ounce for palladium, which South Africa has a monopoly properly in, let me tell you. Well done there. Yep. The crude oil price.
Lindsay, but just to put that in perspective.
I am.
Put that in perspective. I mean, this is now exactly two weeks ago, you and I were on this show stating that palladium was trading at $1,850.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. Today, it's trading $2,120. This is a massive, massive jump, you know, from palladium. But as mentioned, I mean, over that same time, you know, platinum were flirting with $900, now way over the $1,000 mark again. Yeah, I think very good for the rand.
And the other thing that's good for the rand is West Texas crude, which is down just slightly, but down nonetheless. $80.43 a barrel, down 0.25%. Brent crude oil, $83.13 per barrel, down 0.33%. And natural gas, not so important for South Africa, very important for the United Kingdom, down 2.2%. The South African 10-year bond yield has reacted beautifully. It's 9.38% when it was 9.58% 3 days ago. And what else have we got here? The US 10-year yield, which we mentioned earlier on, but I'll reiterate that it has gone now to 1.54%, despite the fact that inflation is running riot in the United States. So somebody's saying, well, that's the end of it. Maybe it's all going to fall in a heap, in other words, inflation. But it hasn't fallen in a heap. And I think it's been 6 months since it was above 5%, Skulk. But anyway, who cares? The point is that US inflation is still way above 5%. What shares did you see before I give you my shares up and down on the day? What did you see today? Anything interesting?
Yeah, I think, you know, besides the companies that reported, I know Ascendus has been in the news over the past two years, really, you know, not for the good. It's always been, you know, fairly bad news. I think Shelders there had some good news today, where they mentioned that it's again one of those caution announcements, but at least this time around they've given a little bit more, where they say, you know, as soon as it commences the process regarding the potential disposal of its business segment known as Ascendus Pharma. Now, I'm not going to go into it. It just said you this could materially affect the share price, and yes, it did today, because the share price is up 15.6%. And the only other one, there was no sense or caution announcement in it. It's one of my, let's call it my darlings on the JSE, and that's ACI, aka Bang Bangs. That was up 3.4% today.
Yeah.
And now trading, you know, when you look at that, they're actually now trading at a 1 year high today, and not just the 1 year high, they're actually now, you know, above the levels that we've actually seen back in December 2019. So this is a great move for ACI, well recovered, and still remain one of my darlings. Definitely one that I sort of tip as one that should be in a personal portfolio.
It's an explosives company. That's the history, and that's why Skulk Glow called it Bang Bang, and that's what it used to be called when the JSE was housed on Diagonal Street, when it was an open outcry market. AECI up 3.37% today to R112.67. PSG Consult doing nicely, up nearly 3.5%. Motus up 4.25%. Italtal up 5.25%. Montauk Renewables up 6.33%. On the downside, goodness me, this is a volatile stock. Thungela Limited, the coal mining stock that was spun out of Anglo American, down 5.5%. Vivo down 2.6%. Mediclinic down 2%. MTN down 1.8%. And Hammerson down 1.8%. Give us the closing indices on the JSE and also live Wall Street, Skulk.
All right. So as the close today, the JSE all shit. It closed the day. It was a little bit down, but basically unchanged, up 4 basis points to 66,012 points. 66,013 points. Resources are down 0.26%, despite the fact that the gold miners were having a field day. Industrials, that was up at 0.5 basis point. We also saw financials, that was down 70 basis points, and SA listed property, that was down 40 basis points. When we look at the value traded in the market, not an active day. I mean, the market were fairly slow, only 15.5 billion traded today. So that's the slowest, or let's call it the slowest day pretty much over the past week. So this is not good. looking at the at Wall Street currently, as we currently speak, the Nasdaq is positive. That's quite interesting to note that the Nasdaq is positive with 31 basis points. Dow Jones are down 0.54%, and S&P 500, that's also down 23 basis points.
Skulk, thanks so much for your time. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in Cape Town, and he'll be back with me for the opening tomorrow morning. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.